Good morning. Good to see you all this morning. I understand that we have some younger people with us this morning, and I would certainly like to invite them, if they'd like to come and join me up here on this particular part. That means any of you high school guys that want to come? No, I'm sure that's not exactly what you had in mind, right? Anybody want to join me up here, they're welcome to do that. Come on up. Hey, come on up. Good, good, good. Hey, I like that. I like that. Good. Let me give you a hand. I can give you a hand, okay? Here we go. You don't need my hand. There we go. Listen, here we go. Pew. Whoa. Here we go, buddy. Right here. That's it. There's a man that made it.
Let's have them on the blue paper.
That what?
The blue thing that's rolled out for them to sit on.
Let's have them
sit on that, otherwise we
don't
want any injury.
You don't want... Oh, you want them to sit... Oh!
Yes.
The injuries have already occurred. They just happened. Sorry. Okay. Hey. Oh, well, that's right. He needed somebody to come with him. Thanks for bringing him up.
Young.
That's right. That's right. You had us fooled, but I'm sure you got it right. Okay. Good. Good. Hey, you can look this way with me, if you would, and I will. Our Bible passage this morning is found in the book of Acts, and it's in the 27th chapter. For those of you who are able to see, it's in the 27th chapter of Acts. Now, two things. One of which is that when I was asked to speak today, I thought, what in the world am I going to speak on New Year's time? And I thought, you know, the Bible has a New Year's message. And it's found in Acts chapter 27. So I said, well, let's look at that New Year's message, because I think that it's really, really important and appropriate for us to see what happened in the book of Acts in the 27th chapter at the time of New Year's, because very much it speaks to our lives as well. Your life, your mom and dad, your grandma and grandpa, who's ever here this morning. It speaks to all of our lives. It occurred around the time of what was known as the Jewish New Year. The Jewish New Year occurred after Passover. And after Passover, they went on to celebrate their New Year. So it wasn't January 1st for them. It was in really October. So if you know in your school, sometimes your schools may celebrate the Jewish New Year right around that time of the year, right around the same time as Passover. Well, the book of Acts and the 27th chapter happens at that time. And here is the story. Now, the big picture is Jesus has come. He died for our sins. He was buried, and he rose up from the grave, and he went up into heaven. His going up into heaven is found in the book of Acts in the first chapter. What happened after that was, and this is the story, the very last words of Jesus are this: you will be my witnesses when the Spirit comes upon you, and you will take the gospel, the good news of Jesus, to the ends of the earth, starting at home and then going out, Judea, Samaria, and way to the ends of the earth. You're going to take it all over the world so that people become aware that God's rule is all over the world, because he's come to establish a kingdom. And Jesus is the king. So different people took that story. In the first 13 chapters, you've got Peter takes the story, chapters 1 through 12. In chapters 13 through chapter 28, you have Paul who takes that story. And there's a guy named Luke. He's a great physician. He's a beloved physician. And that Luke goes along with Paul a number of the places, and he's the guy who writes the book. He was there when it happened, so he can write it firsthand experience. So, he is with Paul when Paul says, I'm a Roman, because they wanted to kill him, and they wanted to treat him badly. And he said, I am a Roman and need to be treated as a Roman citizen. So that meant, once he said that, that he was going to have to go to Rome to have the judge there, Caesar, take care of the issue. So what was happening in that very fact itself is that God's word was being fulfilled. God always keeps his word. You got to know that. God always keeps his word. And he said to Paul, you're going to go to Rome. And that's exactly what Paul did. He wound up in Rome to preach the gospel. But then the book of Acts quits. But the church goes on because the Spirit of God goes on and the kingdom of God goes on. And it keeps spreading and it keeps spreading. And we're a part of that blessing that the kingdom of God has come to us. The rule of God in our lives has come to us. So here we are today. Now, back to the point of Acts chapter 27. The question is, why is Acts 27 there? Well, it's there to show us that God, no matter what opposition comes, God is in control. No matter what the enemy does. Do you have any enemies? You guys got any enemies? Yeah, some of us do, don't we? Do you have people that aren't in that don't like you? Yeah, some of us have people don't like us. Sometimes they tell us that, don't they? Well, you know what? They're called, another word for them is, and I'm going to give you a big word, but they're called contrarians. In other words, they're against us. They're against us. But you know what? It isn't just people that are against us. The devil's against us. Okay? The devil tries to make it a hard time for us. But you know what? It isn't just the devil. The world, its philosophies, its ways of doing things, they're against us. But not just that. Even we are against ourselves. Have you ever said, I shouldn't have done that? Did your mom or dad tell you you shouldn't have done that? Ever had the, oh yeah, everybody agrees with that. Yeah, okay. And there are things that we do. You know what? Even now there are things that I do that I say, Blossom, how stupid could you be? You know, why would I do something like that? Which means I have a conflict within me. And the Bible talks about that. Paul in the book of Romans calls that the flesh. My flesh is against us. So in other words, they're against us. Well, when we come to Acts chapter 27, we find out that Paul is on a boat. Okay? I got this boat at Christmas time one year from my brother. And I thought I'd bring it and show it to you this morning. Because you know what? The boat sometimes represents our lives. Have you ever heard anybody say, whatever floats your boat? Okay, well, that's talking about your boat as your life. Whatever floats your life, whatever makes you happy, that kind of thing. Whatever floats your boat. So they call that an analogy, or sometimes they call that a simile or a metaphor. Maybe you've had that in your school, okay? But it's like. Sometimes our lives are like the boat. Okay? Now, let's say that this is our life. And it's sailing along, okay? Sailing along, and all of a sudden, a storm comes up, and the waves are big, so it goes like this, and then it may go down into the waves like that, and it goes up into the waves. But then sometimes it's at our back, and we're smooth sailing. Or sometimes it comes from the front or the side, and it may go like this, and it may go like this, and it may... And you know what? Sometimes our lives are just like that too. Because our lives never take a straight course. None of us take a straight course. We all have storms. In this passage of Scripture, a number of times, at least four times, it talks about the wind. The wind and what the wind causes. One of them even uses the word translated for English as nor'easter. A nor'easter is when the northeast cold comes and hits the warmth of the southwest. And it comes like this, and a storm is created. It may be a big snowstorm. It may be a like a typhoon or a hurricane. It may be a big wind that comes, and it's really, really cold. But if you're in a boat, it's going to rock you, and it's going to turn you all sorts of ways. Not just that, but it's also going to often damage your ship, and it's going to take you off course. That's exactly what happened to Paul in the ship that he was in. If you're looking at it from this direction now, he's in Caesarea, and he goes to a place called Sidon, which is a ship port. Everything was fine. But then they got from Sidon, and he got to going up, and it was a coastal boat, so it stayed near land. But he got to going up, and the winds came. At first, the winds can feel real good. But you know what? Just because the wind is at your back doesn't mean it's a good wind. Just like just because the wind is in your face doesn't mean it's a bad wind. Because you see, Jesus is in control of all the winds and the waves. And he has a purpose for every one of those winds and waves that comes into our lives that hits our ship. So, he gets to Sidon, and then he goes to Myra, and then he goes to Needham, and then he takes off from there, and again the winds hit. And they want to go to Crete, and he comes, and he comes. And you know, let me just say, if you look at all the route that Paul took, he didn't take a straight line. But it went like this, and it went over, and then it went like this, and it came down, came up, and over, and then it came down, and he went around Crete, and he comes to Myra, and they port there. But that wasn't a very good harbor. So he said, they said, let's go on to another harbor or up in Asia. And then they went down to Crete, to Myra, or to another port down there. And then they went from that port, which was Fair Havens, they went and tried to go to another port. But at that point, the nor'easter came in, and the ship just went all over the place, and they got lost. They got lost. Have you ever had all the lights go off and you never knew where you were? And you're going like this, to feel that kind of thing, because you don't know where you are. Imagine what it would be like to be lost at sea. Imagine if you were in a boat and you had no idea where you were. You wouldn't know which way to go, and the winds were controlling your life. The question that I would ask for our passage of Scripture this morning is, how did Paul survive? How did he make it through? When you've got friends against you, how do you make it through? When you're not chosen to be on the team, how do you make it through? When you get some bad grades, How do you make it through when your folks say, go to your room? How do you make it through? Do you get bitter? Do you stay? Yeah. God helps you. And you know what? That's the first thing we need to see. In this passage of Scripture, the first thing that helped Paul was this. Paul learned a song. Well, maybe he didn't, but I learned a song that went like this. With Christ in my vessel, I can smile at the storm. Smile at the storm. Smile at the storm. With Christ in my vessel, I can smile at the storm. I learned that when I was 7 years old. And I used to sing it from 7 to 10. I used to sing that song. Till we go sailing home. Sailing, sailing home. Sailing, sailing home. With Christ in my vessel, I can smile at the storm. And we go sailing home. Now that's the first thing for Paul. You know what he said in verse 23? In verse 23, he said, the angel of God, to whom I belong and who I worship or who I serve. You see, in order to survive, no matter what the trouble may be, maybe sometimes, and we won't tell anybody, but sometimes you may hear your mom and dad argue, and that just makes you upset, doesn't it? Or maybe it's your friend that got a disease and got sick and went to the hospital and didn't come home. Maybe it's that. Those are called winds on our face, nor'easters. Contrary, they're against us, winds. How can I be joyful? How can I live a life? How can I go on with winds that are against me? The first thing is, you can go on when Jesus is in your ship. But what needs to happen is you need to understand the Jesus that's in your ship. It isn't just that he died to take your sins away. It's that he died also in taking your sins away to give you a new life. You see, you put off the old, but you put on. In fact, the bad thing is when you think you can put off but don't put on, because you never really put off then. You never get rid of the past unless you replace it. You never get rid of death unless you replace it with life. And when Jesus comes in, he comes in to our lives as our life. He's the one who gives us hope. He's the one who gives us love. He's the one who gives us peace. He's the one who gives us joy, because he brings everything that is his into us. And we then, in order to really know that, must call him Lord. We must say, I belong to God. I belong to Jesus. I serve him. No longer do we serve Satan. No longer do we serve the world. No longer do we serve our flesh. But we serve Jesus. We worship him. We surrender to him. He is our Lord. Now hear me again. When we say, I am saved, which is what a word that appears in this chapter, I am delivered, I am rescued. I am rescued from what I used to be. I'm rescued from my enemies. I'm rescued from disaster of my soul. I'm rescued from going to hell. I'm rescued from that. But I am rescued with a new life within me. I can't just say, well, Jesus is my Savior, but he's not my Lord. No, 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 no. You can't pick and choose what you want of Jesus. When Jesus comes in, he is everything in your life. He is the Lord of your life. He's the master of your life. And that's exactly what Paul said when he said, God, whose I am, I belong to him. I don't belong to myself. I don't belong to anybody or anything, but I belong to God. And Jesus comes in, and now he lives this new life within me. I'm going to tell you something. The more that you give over to Jesus, the more you see how much Jesus is in you. The more you see how much you have of Jesus. And the more you have of Jesus, the more peaceful, the more happy, joyful, the more right your life will be. But it all begins by Jesus coming in. That's where it is. When Christ is in my vessel, when Jesus is in my boat, when I came, and I remember back when I was 5 years old, and I remember it, when I said, you know, I'm not very good, I'm not very nice. I've hurt God, and I want God in my life, but how can I come to God with all of my baggage? How can I come to God with all these bad things? And Jesus says, come just as you are. With all that you've got, just come as you are. Just come like you are. And I brought all of that, and Jesus took it all away. Jesus washed me of it, and he gave me a right life. He gave me a good hope. He gave me an assurance that I wouldn't go under his wrath forever, but that I could have peace even in the midst of the storm. Now, there are three other things that this passage talks about, and we're not going to talk about them this morning. Maybe when I have an opportunity another time, we'll finish this. But this is where it begins. You can't have peace, true peace, without having Jesus. You can't rightly, truly go through a death experience, a disease experience, a financial crash in your life, a loss of friends, misunderstandings, unconquered sin in your life. You can't go through it with joy, with hope, and with peace without having Jesus in your ship, in control. In control. Now, you know what? Jonah thought he could. And Jonah got on a boat. And that boat had trouble. You remember the story of Jonah? And that boat had trouble. And Jonah ended up saying, I'm the problem. I'm the one that's causing the seas and the winds to come because of God's anger. God is blowing this storm at me. And they threw Jonah overboard. Jonah got out of the ship, and he goes into the belly of a big fish. And in that big fish, he prays to God, and God saves him because he took Jesus into his ship. He took God into his ship, and God saved him. Jesus was in a storm one time. The disciples were in the boat, and Jesus came to them. And Jesus got in the ship, and as soon as he got in the ship, the winds and the waves went away. In fact, the disciples said in the fourth chapter of Mark, when that happened, and Jesus was already in the ship, and the winds and the waves were blowing, and they said, don't you care that we're dying? Jesus said to the winds and the waves, hush up. And they stopped. Disciples said, wow, who is this that even the winds and the waves belong to him. So know this. When those kinds of winds come at you like this, and you get all ready to be knocked over, you don't need to worry. The master of the winds and the waves is in you if you've invited Jesus into your life. And he's not going to let you sink. He won't let you go. Paul knew that, and that's what kept him afloat. There is a song that goes something like this. It is called, Master, the Tempest is Raging. And it reads like this. Master, the tempest is raging. The billows are tossing high. The sky is o'ershadowed with blackness. No shelter or help is nigh. Don't you care that we perish? How can you lie asleep? When each moment so madly is threatening a grave for us in that empty deep. The winds and the waves shall obey your will. Peace be still. Peace be still. Whether the wrath of the storm-tossed sea, or demons or men or whatever it be, no water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all will sweetly obey your will. Peace, peace, be still. Do you know that? If Jesus is in your ship, he's the master. He can control the waves and the winds, and he controls our life. He's the master, and the master isn't going to go down because those things belong to him, and you won't go down if you belong to Jesus. Let's pray.